Bradley, what's going on? Apple in education. Yeah.
Big day. So I think one of the things that surprised me about Apple over the years with iPad is they continually do things that I never thought they would do. And so much of that has been around deployment. And I think to me, this is probably their first attempt at a school-wide cloud service in terms of something that actually impacts the school and not something that's like an administration related in terms of IT admin. So, you know, the beta of iOS 9.3 dropped today. And there's one of the things interesting about this is there's a ton of new features that seem to be coming in a point release of iOS. And so you wonder what that means for iOS 10. You know, do they have more for that? So really four things that we've got that they've announced for schools today. Again, this is in preview. This is nothing out today. And this is probably all aimed at you're working with this stuff this summer as you're going through your deployments. So first thing is a shared iPad model for students. It says students can log into any iPad, any classroom, and make it their
own. So this feature is actually, the name of the feature is Shared iPad. That's the name of the feature, which is not... Some of the naming around this is a little bit confusing, I think. The feature is called Shared iPad. And what that is basically multi-user login for iOS. And to kind of tell you where I'm coming from, I had a briefing call with Apple earlier today where they told me some details about this. And it's basically they told me the things that were are now available, but a couple of other bits of information as well. And this Shared iPad model is basically... I think, honestly, Bradley, what they're doing is they're trying to stop schools that won't go one-to-one going Chromebook. And I think this is the most defensive of the four parts. Because if you think about it, if a school makes a platform transition to Chromebook now or in the next couple of years, you're looking at another 10 years before they might think about changing the platform again. You know, so it feels like this is a bit of a rearguard action to make sure that schools who know they will not go one-to-one for whatever reason... don't go Chromebook in the meantime. Does that seem like a fair thing to say?
That's exactly how I think it is, because it's essentially doing what Chromebook does. Hey, you can do a network login. Now, did you get it? You know, one of the things we're reading. Of course, I'm going off the website. I'm assuming caching servers involved with this, because I mean, it seems like the iPad would get filled up very quickly if you had students logging in, or is these network based accounts on stored on a server somewhere?
Yeah, so technically speaking, it is not network home directories, right? This isn't the resurrection of network homes. What it is that when you log into a device, you're working from local storage, right? So your data is on the flash storage of the iPad. When a user logs out, their data will be purged as required to allow another user space to get in. So what that means is that you really, really, really don't want to be buying 16 gig iPads for this job. You really want to be buying 64 or 128 for this job. And also you want to be managing quite carefully who uses which iPad. So if you just hand them out willy-nilly and every day different people are using those same iPads, you're going to start expiring people's data off the local storage very quickly. But if you get a seeding plan and you work out that each iPad will only be used by these three different kids, you can potentially size your iPad correctly so that very little or no data gets purged. So it's a kind of intelligent caching system. And caching server is involved, but there is like the cloud storage involved as well. So if data is in flight back to iCloud or CloudKit or Google Drive or Dropbox or wherever, that will be persisted until the data has all been backed up to the cloud. What I wasn't clear about, and I couldn't quite get the straight answer on this, was whose cloud quota does that come off? Because if we're rapidly going to be doing full or nearly full backups and restores to the cloud, we need to know that all the kids will have to have enough cloud storage to make sure that all their data just comes back as well. So I have a big open question as to how that's going to be handled. You know, because a lot of kids in schools like mine where we've just got the free iCloud account, their iCloud storage is full and has been for ages. And I think what would be very nice is if Apple could make sure that each student has, you know, however much storage. And there might be some changes in here that might enable that to be easier in the future. Let's talk about that in a minute.
I think kind of summed it up nicely. This is going to be aimed at 64 gig devices. And then, so if you think you've got, like, let's say you have 15 kids in your classroom, four iPads, you just say, okay, you three kids, this is your iPad that you rotate between. But I never thought I would see this. Like, it'll be interesting to see kind of what effect this has on wireless traffic, yep, and then, you know, bandwidth traffic, and how mm-hmm. this affects your caching server. But I imagine we'll see that.
Yeah, I'm also interested in this. I mean, we'll not be using this because we're one-to-one. So when you're one-to-one, you don't need a feature like this. But what I am interested in is, how quickly can I get a student back onto another device? So using this not as a daily work routine, but as a disaster recovery tool, how quickly can a student log into another device and get their same stuff back up? So it might be that even in a one-to-one school, you might want to deploy the shared iPad feature so that you can use it as a sort of disaster recovery tool and people can quickly get back up on another device. That's another question that I have that I think is potentially quite interesting.
Yeah, and it says here, photo ID lets students find their iPad fast. Intelligent caching lets teachers use this photo ID feature to assign shared devices quickly and easily. It says, even students in lower grades will find it easy to use shared iPad. To log in, they just enter a simple four-digit PIN code right on the lock screen. How do those photos get assigned? I imagine that's in the classroom app that we're going to be discussing next. I think it's a defense against Chromebooks and a really good one at that.
Yeah, I think it will do the job. And I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, you imagine the scenario where people are sitting down in a meeting and the conversation goes, well, we can't afford one-to-one or we don't prioritize one-to-one enough or whatever. So we need to have multi-user system, right? Who can we do that with iPad? Oh, that's really hard. It's a huge pain, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's forget that. Let's look at Chromebooks or Windows machines. And that's how the conversation probably goes in that kind of situation. So what happens now for Apple is the iPad stays in that conversation for longer because it doesn't get disqualified at the first hurdle in those schools that refuse to go one-to-one for whatever reason.
So next thing on the list is a Classroom application. So this is every teacher can use Little Help. With Classroom, you can launch everyone's app at the same time and then guide what students are looking at on their devices. So teachers can focus on teaching and students can focus on learning.
Does this remind you of any feature that we might have mentioned in sponsorship reads over the past couple of years?
Yeah, very similar to Casper Focus. But this is, of course, you know, from Apple. So you wonder how these features will compare to what Casper Focus is doing. One of the things that it can't do that I can see is that it doesn't offer remote assistance in terms of, like, I can't click on something for you. And now another question is, does this work? Do you have to be on the same local Wi-Fi network to do this, or does this work over over the live internet?
Basically, there's four big features in the Apple Classroom app. One is called Screen View, which is, as the name suggests, the ability for the teacher running the Classroom app to look at the screen of another iPad somewhere nearby. Now, my understanding is that actually works on the same principle as AirDrop and AirPlay. So it's using local Bluetooth discovery and direct Wi-Fi between the devices. So, for example, if you wouldn't necessarily see every iPad in your whole network, you'd only see the ones that were physically nearby. So this is kind of like the Apple TV discovery stuff, where Apple's using Bluetooth to limit the number of things you see to the ones that are sort of physically nearby you, and then you do something with it based on that. I'm really excited about this. This is my number one feature out of all of this, I think, is the ability to screen view a student's iPad in the classroom. And that's something that Casper Focus has never had the capability to do. Nothing else ever has. But the other things are a little bit kind of like Casper Focus in the sense that you can lock kids into a specific app. You can basically start gated access mode, single app mode, from the teacher's device. It says you can launch specific apps, websites, or pages in a textbook on every iPad in the class. So it goes a little bit beyond what Jamf are able to do just by sending configuration profiles through Casper Focus. You can initiate AirPlay. This is starting to sound like a sponsorship read. you can initiate AirPlay from the teacher device to a student device, if you like. What I mean by that is you can start a student device showing on your Apple TV from the teacher's device. And finally, you can reset forgotten passwords. Now, I'm not clear whether this is the forgotten Apple ID password or the forgotten iPad password. I suspect maybe Apple ID. I'm not absolutely sure, but we'll find out more about that.
Yeah, it's not clear. It says no more calling IT when a student just can't remember a password. With the Classroom app, you can help students reset their passwords directly from your iPad. Maybe it's both.
I guess my question for both the Classroom app and Shared iPad is, what are the requirements for getting access to this? And I strongly suspect that it's going to be supervised devices in the device enrollment program. And nothing less than that will be allowed to have these capabilities. I'm pretty sure that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, I would guess. I would. That seems to be the model they've taken in years past for these kind of more invasive. The user is not king.
Yeah. So supervision is one level. But as you know, Bradley, on the new ability to update iOS from your MDM, that now also requires DEP as well. And I suspect some of this will... Because DEP is that really strict... you know, we can guarantee for a fact that this is an education-only iPad owned by the school. And this seems like the kind of thing that would be in that category of, we only want schools to use this, and we want to make sure that only schools are using it.
And you wonder if some of these features will come to the general iOS population, like, say, with iOS 10. Or, of course, these things may... You know, these features may require iOS 10. I mean, ultimately, do we know that for sure, that they don't?
No, these features are definitely in iOS 9.3.
Oh, I see that. Okay.
Right. And what I was told today was that these things are being released in beta form in January so that they will be ready for August and September.
So it's like it'll be so that, yeah, because we'll still be on iOS 9. You'll figure schools will still be deploying iOS 9 this summer if they're getting new iPads, because iOS 10 will probably come out in September. Okay. Next thing on the list, and these are in some ways two in one, the Apple School Manager. And it's one login, one location, everything you need to use iPads in schools. So one central place for admins to create Apple IDs, build courses, I'm assuming in iTunes U, and access everything you need to deploy iPad for your school, all from a web browser on your Mac or a PC. I am somewhat surprised this is not like Apple Configurator XL, then it's like an actual Mac app. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what this is actually, although it's called Apple School Manager, it's not really it's not an app as such. What it is it's a new web portal for all of the programs. You know that Apple had the enrollment programs webpage where you could enroll in DEP and VPP, and if you're in the US, Apple IDs, I think. This is just like a new face for all of those. They're bringing all of those programs into one webpage so that sysadmins can go to a page, they can set up... they can set up VPP, they can set up DEP, but they can also use this portal to create what they're calling managed Apple IDs. So this is where we do everything. This is kind of like our Google Docs dashboard for iOS, which is awesome.
Now, one question I have reading this, it says, it's easy to make volume purchases of books and apps. Your education discount is automatically applied to the apps you buy, and you can distribute these apps to staff or student with a few keystrokes. This doesn't say, like, are we going to be able to deploy apps over this instead of using, like, an MDM solution?
I would urge caution on that interpretation. I haven't been told either way, and I can see why you would take that interpretation of that text, but I think I don't know of any changes to the standard VPP model of you do it through your MDM. I don't think this is an end run around having an MDM in your school.
It says by connecting your student information system, you can set up IT managers, create accounts, and locate staff and students and classes. So the big question is what student information systems will be supported. I am not expecting RenWeb to be supported because that would be too nice. I would guess that PowerSchool would be one of the originals because Apple used to own them.
I haven't been given a full list, but PowerSchool was mentioned as an example. And what you can do here is quite cool. There's like API level access to this, so you can extract structures from your MIS system, like which teachers have got which students in which classes, and work. It can do work in the background to do things like apparently it can set up iTunes U courses automatically and pre-enroll your students into those courses if the students are using managed Apple IDs.
It's crazy town that all this is coming.
Yeah. And all of it coming at once as well is the most surprising thing to me, you know.
Yeah. So of course, you mentioned manage Apple IDs. Now, one of the things this doesn't include is email.
Yeah.
So you still have. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's coming, but that still keeps the Google mm-hmm. hook in for a lot of schools.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It seems to. Well, what I'm not clear about with a managed Apple ID is, do you get everything you get with an iCloud account? Like, do you get an iCloud.com email address? You can use your own email address for an Apple ID. We already know that. But it seems to me that there are some other things you can do to these Apple IDs. Like, it was described to me as they're intended for getting access to the App Store, getting access to specifically iTunes U, because even though we've got device-based deployment of apps right now, you still say you're in a secondary school like me and you wanted to do device-based assignment of apps, I still couldn't do it because I would still need the kids to have an Apple ID so they could get access to iTunes U, because iTunes U requires an Apple ID. So it's about getting access to services as much as it's about getting access to apps and books and so on.
And you wonder too, does it mention it, but like, do we have the option to buy more iCloud storage for these students, like buy this in bulk and then distribute it? Because it does say, like, any Apple ID mm-hmm. that allows you to store documents in iCloud.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that this does include iCloud storage, because the shared iPad model sort of requires that there's cloud storage behind it in order to do the swapping in and out. What has not been announced, and I've not been told anything about this either, so don't get confused about this, is that you can imagine a world where Apple could come along and say, right, every managed Apple ID in existence suddenly gets 25 gigs of storage, or gets unlimited storage like Google did for education, Google Drive, right? They haven't announced that, and I'm not saying that's going to be part of this program right now, but now that Apple has like a special class of Apple IDs that were provided through schools, it doesn't seem terribly difficult to me for them to then come along and say, okay, these guys have got 3 times the quota or 10 times the quota or whatever. Or no quota at all. So that seems to open the door for different limits for school kids, which would be awesome. But that hasn't been... nobody's told me that that's going to happen. I'm just speculating there.
Well, and you wonder too, is there going to be a way to like release these Apple IDs into real life ones? Like, you know, if these are like at iCloud and the kid has first name, last name, it wants to keep it forever after they mm-hmm. graduate, is there a way to say, okay... You know, I release this Apple ID into the general population.
Yeah, I expect there probably will be some capability like that, but that's the kind of thing that they have a year to get ready, because nobody really needs that until a year on.
True. Big day, and I love seeing this now, because this is the perfect time to announce this, and then we can get all of our ducks in a row, and hopefully this means we see some new iPad Air 3s and this spring.
Well, there is a rumored event in March, isn't there?
There is, yep. But this is when Apple needs to announce things for schools, is January.
Yep. January to March, and because by the time March comes around, that's when you're starting to think about signing contracts for equipment for August, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Anything else?
No, it's a big thumbs up for me, I think. I have a lot of technical questions about how this actually works, but I am super excited about it, and I'm really keen for the Classroom app. I think... Although we've had the capability to use Casper Focus for a couple of years, we haven't really deployed it very much. And the reason being because Casper Focus works by the teacher device signaling the MDM server, which then pushes a profile to the client. And that is like 2 steps over the internet. And it hasn't been 100% reliable in this, in my experience. Whereas this is actually working over like local wireless discovery. So it should be faster. It should be more reliable. And I think the ability of teachers to look at students' iPad screens is huge. I know that shared iPad is a big deal to a lot of people, but I think screen view is actually going to be, on a day-to-day basis, is going to be the most important thing for teachers. Because, there is a way you can do it, right? You can get up off your chair and walk around the classroom and position yourself in such a way so you can see the kids' stuff. But being able just to hit a button and do that would be really cool. And particularly if you could just do slide over and pull in your view and just do, okay, there's your iPad, I'm just going to have a quick peek at you. That would be really cool. So I really hope that Classroom supports slide over at launch. But of course, it's not going to be at all confusing that there's Google Classroom and Apple Classroom now, is it?
No, not at all. No, just that we need Amazon Classroom and we're good to go.
Facebook Classroom. Yeah. Cool. Well, we're up out there. That's our first impressions, I think. And I'm really excited overall.
Yeah, big day, big day. So this is a little bonus episode we've had. We'll get back to our deployment 2016. Regularly scheduled programming at normal time next week, but we wanted to have a little bonus episode this week. So have a good week, everybody.